It's the Morning Show on WPHM. And for the vacationing Paul Miller, here's Bill Gilmer.
Yippee-yay, it's 9:13, 66 degrees in the Port City. Again, and for Paul Miller, Bill Gilmer with you this morning, and I'll be here tomorrow morning too. Paul on the move as he moves back into the area up in Fort Gratiot Township. He should be all settled in and probably still setting up his desk and bookcases, though, but he'll be with us on Monday morning. We welcome aboard the morning show a gentleman from the Mackinac Center, folks that we have talked to many times, various policy experts up there, and Jarrett Scorup, I believe the name is who we have on board right now. Good morning, Jarrett.
Good morning, Bill. I got to say, you're the first radio host to ever get my name right, so congratulations.
I've got to admit that I was primed a little bit beforehand, but even that was a guess. I said, you know, if it's score up, just don't tell me anything about it, and I'll say it. So we got it. We're talking about the police seizures of property, and have they gone too far, which we heard a news report from the Michigan Radio Network that some are saying perhaps they have. Is that the case?
Yeah, so the issue we're talking about here is civil asset forfeiture, and the Mackinac Center has actually been doing work on this for a few decades now. So Michigan's laws are fairly lax. They're rated very poorly by civil libertarian groups. And to give an example of what that is, so in Michigan, for certain crimes, or for certain alleged crimes, if the police charge you with something, a person goes into the criminal system, which means you have a right to an attorney, you have a trial, and they have to convict you of a crime, and before you can serve any time for that. But your property would actually enter the civil system. So there's a lot of states that have this, and so you have situations in Michigan where sometimes this property can be seized and it can be put into the civil system and it can actually be forfeited over to the government even if a person is never found to be guilty of a crime. And so that's a concern that we have, and there's some legislation that would seek to deal with that somewhat.
Could you give us an example of how that might happen?
Sure. There's a fairly famous case a few years ago, we've talked to a few of the people that were involved in this, and the ACLU represented them, but an art institute in Detroit held a get-together, and they did not have the proper permit for this. They had dancing and a DJ, and they didn't realize they needed an extra permit, because you need a permit to do anything in Detroit. And so they had a monthly get-together, and a bunch of students, mostly college students, attended this, and everything was fine. They were of legal age and everything, but the police stormed the place, and the allegation was that the place was didn't have the proper permit, but there was no evidence that the students did anything wrong, any of the 20-year-olds that were attending this. So the police seized all of their vehicles. So even though they were never that they weren't charged or alleged to have committed a crime, the police seized their vehicle, saying that that they believe that the vehicles brought them to a place where criminal conduct was happening. And in order to get their vehicles back, they had to pay about $1,000 each, or they had to wait months to try and challenge that with a lawyer. But of course, a lot of people don't want to spend $3,000 or $4,000 at least on a lawyer in order to get back a $2,000 car. So those are the types of situations that can sometimes happen.
It would seem more likely. You hear of car forfeitures and drug cases often,
yep.
That's before really any legal action is done as far as the courts are concerned. But at least that's a little more understandable.
Yeah, so there's two important things to keep in mind. So there's criminal seizure, which is this is not what we're talking about. So the police are always allowed to seize property based on probable cause. They think it has something to do with a crime. What we're talking about is civil forfeiture. Forfeiture is where a prosecutor takes property to give over to the government. So in some states, New Mexico is a recent example, they require that somebody has to be convicted of a crime before the actual property can be forfeited to the government. In Michigan, property can be forfeited to the government even if a person has not been convicted of a crime. So the legislation that's being proposed and the stuff that we would certainly support doesn't have anything to do with police seizing property. It has to do with the how the property actually transfers over to the government.
Is that an oddity for Michigan to have this particular situation?
No, not at all. Most states are like that. The Michigan is an oddity in that the reporting requirements are very, very lax. So we don't actually know how much property is being forfeited like that. So that's why we have such a low rating. But no, many states have very similar type laws. But there's been some pushback in the particularly in the last couple of years, and so a lot of states are turning over, and so North Carolina had eliminated civil forfeiture more than a decade ago, and they've been an oddity in not having this type of system, but some states are beginning to change that.
We're talking with Jarrett Squareup from the Mackinac Center. Tell us a little bit about your work there, as people listening saying, who's the Mackinac Center, and how is Jarrett involved in it?
Sure, yeah. The Mackinac Center is a free market think tank, so we're most known. We do a lot of work on different economic issues, on tax policy, fiscal education, but we've also been involved in different issues of, we care about freedom in all realms of life, and so we've done a lot on over-criminalization, so kind of silly laws and things that the government still has on the books, and we've done the civil forfeiture issue because we just believe at our core that even if if somebody is alleged to murder their wife, we give them a trial by jury, we give them a lawyer, we have all these constitutional rights. So it is our belief that even if somebody has committed a crime, the government should have to prove that crime before they actually take the property for them. And unfortunately, that's not the case right now in Michigan, so that's why we're involved in this.
Is there some pending legislation that might update all this?
Yep, there's some very good legislation right now that's going through the House, and that has to do with reporting requirements. So we're going to finally be able to see for sure exactly what property is being seized and then forfeited to the state, whether that person's been charged with a crime, whether they've been convicted. So that would be very good. And that legislation on similar lines went through in Minnesota. And then there's also some bills. There is a bill that would eliminate civil forfeiture and just have criminal forfeiture, which means if somebody is involved in a crime, their person and their cash and car or any property all enters the criminal system. And so their property can only be forfeited to the government if they are actually convicted of a crime.
Now, has similar legislation failed to muster enough votes in the past, or are we just kind of moving newly in this direction?
Yeah, there's been some bills submitted here and there over the years, but not with a lot of there hasn't been a lot of support for it. Law enforcement tends to be hesitant about this kind of thing, but our new House Speaker, Kevin Cotter, came into office, or when he took over as Speaker at the beginning of this year, he made it known that the caucus was interested in doing something on this. I'm not sure how much interest there is on eliminating the civil forfeiture, which is our preference, but there does seem to be a lot of interest, at least on getting transparency requirements, and so that we can really, people can begin digging into the data and actually seeing what's going on in the state.
Of course, you could always, like me, drive an old car, and like a 95 Buick LeSabre, and look at them and say, you really want this?
Well, and see, the problem is that in other states, when you actually get these reporting requirements, what you find is a lot of times those are the vehicles that end up being seized and auctioned off. And the reason isn't, so the stereotype is like, of course, they'd want to seize nice cars. But if they seize a nice car, then you have an incentive to hire a good lawyer and
there
fight that and try
yeah.
to get it back. But
yeah.
if you have a car that's worth $2,000 or whatever,
you're not going to
bother with
it.
Not going to go through that.
There you go. That's exactly right. If folks have some questions about this, more information that they might be seeking, what would you suggest they do?
Sure. Our website's mackinaw.org, and you can find me there and my work. And if they want to contact me, they can find all that on our website.
All right. Great. From the Mackinac Center, Jarrett Squareup has been our guest this morning. We thank you much. Good luck with your work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.